It is time to bring in David Tarachuk with the Media Beat. David, of course, joins us every Friday morning. He is got his own website, which is themediabeat.us. You can find him also in the Huffington Post. And also, he's a PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. Good morning, David. We can't hear David.
Well, hello.
David. Yes, we can.
reporting in, is that? Reporting in from the media capital of the world.
Deputy Dog, Marshall, what was that? Where there was something where you'd say something and then someone would just be a second late. And then I was like, here I am. What was it?
I don't remember.
I can't believe that. Must be your birthday coming
a second
up.
Second late?
No, it could be 65 years.
Anyway. All right. Well, hello at the media capital of the world. I'm always delighted with the media capital of the world. One of the most fascinating things I saw this week, though, that as far as I'm concerned did not get enough attention, is this sudden – as you know, one of my favorite things is the, oh, really? Gee. When it's been pretty clear, if you are a trend watcher at all, that this has been developing. One of my favorite stories this week is the number of people who are actually returning home and going to work and starting businesses. And I thought, geez, wouldn't it be nice if there was more emphasis on this instead of just a fleeting ping? All right, let's go back to the misery. But it was not to be.
Well, lots of things would be nice. Yes, lots of things would be nice. We don't always get them. I often think, back to my of all things, my old school headmaster. He said, if you don't like the way things are, do what you think the way things are should be. So, you know, like he often said, if you're in a meeting and you don't like the way the meeting's going, you be the way that the meeting should go.
Yeah, and I suspect that a number of people who worked for him, her, took that to heart. I don't know who told me that, because I know that you and I did not work together at that time, but that was very much a message conveyed to...
we share a certain tradition, yeah.
Yeah, and I what I am struck by is that certain people have that and certain people just don't, but they could still be trained into it. And so I wonder, actually, I have a suspicion that we also don't hear about the people who have that.
Well, that may be the case. A vast encouragement going on in the mass media for
David, you're...
But it's always been true. Churchism has thrived on conflict.
David?
So, yeah.
We are actually having what they say...
Are you not...
You're cutting in and out. So what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to give you a call on your super secret phone number.
On the backup landline.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Let's see if this works.
All right.
Now on good old-fashioned landline communication. Is that being received at your end?
Received. We copy.
Good. Oh, the wonders of live broadcasting. This is terrific.
Oh, but, you know, it's also not that anyone cares except that the cats nibble on my headphones occasionally. And so between that and the Skype, it was interesting. Right. Anyway.
As we were saying before we were so rudely interrupted, I think you were saying, maybe I was, but why don't you go first?
All I was saying is I think that what is underreported is the number of people who are out there saying, look, you know, you if you don't like it, then figure out how to change it rather than...
Right.
And I think you were taking it from there. Because...
Well, yes, and we've had some complaints this week about the way that our American society is tending generally from two former presidents, no less. But although they didn't criticize the current incumbent, it was, by name at least, it was pretty clear that they had him in their sights as well. But society in general was coming in for a lot of drubbing. Also from the current president's chief of staff too. It was so interesting to see that starting as a defense of the president's call to the grieving family of Sergeant LaDavid Johnson, who was killed in Niger, and it became a more general reflection on what values are being lost in much of society's interchange with amongst its members these days, and General Kelly was rather affecting about it, I thought. And it helped to put some things in perspective, while of course at the same time he was at pains to defend his boss. In large part that's his job. But it was interesting to see that there's starting to be quite an upswell of almost philosophical reflection on values, supposedly shared values that the American nation adheres to. And yet is showing many signs of just not doing that adhering anymore, being fractious and contentious beyond belief, and fractious and contentious in small details as well as large policy and philosophy.
And obviously the fractiousness and contentiousness is exacerbated, let's just say. I mean, and one must remember that this is a paid business, and to survive, people have to sell advertisements. And what I'm trying to say is, if you are all good
ratings news, count, yes, ratings and circulation count, absolutely, sure. We have to get people's attention, and one, surefire, well-proven way of getting people's attention is to make a lot of noise and be contentious. Yeah, of course. But on the other hand, and there's always another hand, some discernment about what is appropriate to the circumstance and what is, as in this terrible case of the raucous shouting in a very unseemly manner about how the commander-in-chief needs to communicate with the inevitable numbers of families that lose members of the forces, and how well or otherwise that phone call, that communication of whatever kind, is conducted in order to console and to comfort and to express gratitude and respect. The call that Trump made to Sergeant Johnson's family is clearly become very contentious in itself because it's being argued about so hotly. And this, at its very least, is, I used the word unseemly earlier. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. It's distressing, it's unseemly, and it's certainly a very bad reflection on societal values as a whole.
And it's probably worth talking about. I don't know if your parents or ever said the following to you, but I know that I have heard it from adults, older. Basically, none of your business. Just.
Right. Yeah.
And unfortunately, it makes it a great, shall we say, philosophical conversation, because the crux of Twitter, Facebook, etc., is that people make everything. They feel typically that they are fully within their rights to express their opinion about
there's
anything.
A new sacred cow, certainly in the digital communications world. It's called transparency. Yeah, and it's taken to a very unseemly extreme, saying everything is everybody's business. Well, not entirely. Not entirely. And I think we've really got a very horrific example of that, of the appalling extremity that they can get to, as it has this week. I really feel for the Johnson family more than anyone.
Yeah, and that is the appropriate, because no one in these instances, however, whether it's national or local, in these instances, what ends up being fodder for everybody else's conversation is very personal feelings.
And very deep loss in this case, yeah.
And
sure.
It's just, again, I stand here sort of mouth agape going, you know, really, is this anybody's business? And in fairness to all, sorry about this, people I'm about to annoy. Some editor could say, "Hey, you know what? We're not going to do this."
Yeah, exactly. That was the beginning of my. That was what I was trying to say at the beginning. If we want things to change, we must change our own behavior. Yeah, yes, an editor is saying, "No, this story is clearly ripe and contentious, and so zingy, and in a way, it makes the blood pulse." But no, it's not for us. And that's a brave journalist who does that. And you know, if the cause is right, then it's a very applaudable thing to do. Is it happening? Not very much these days, I don't think. It certainly hasn't been happening much this week. But you know, if we want to see, if we want to set it in context, which I also think is our job, it's useful to just, you know, examine how the whole thing happened in the first place. And this is not a case of, you know, of the childish response of, you know, well, you started it, because there's a lot of that going on as well. But in fact, this whole mess began with President Trump making the outrageous claim that he communicated with families of the fallen service members in a way that previous presidents didn't, and that was such a infantile way of opening up the topic and sent so many flares up that it was inevitable that this would be a politically argued matter for the rest of the week as it has been. I was going to say, to be fair to Trump, not a phrase that escapes my lips very often, but to be fair to Trump, it could all just be a matter of other people reading him differently from how he reads himself. And I'm sure nothing deliberate was done. It's just that, you know, the man is, they say he's a good communicator. I mean, I think the truth of it is he's an extraordinarily clumsy communicator.
I think that's a very diplomatic way of putting it. And at this point, the well has been so, shall we just say, churned up that most people are disinclined on any level, having had their own opinions, to change their view, no matter what. And I, you know, frequently get notes saying, "Well, you know, have people changed their mind?" And it's like, yeah, no.
And to
amazement, I also wanted to mention this to you because I find it striking. I got a call last night from, it's just a regular person. Why I want to mention this is because I was looking at an old white paper from the Shorenstein Center about journalism and basically how way, way back when, during election season, certain seasoned political reporters would go into the crowd and actually talk to some people. You know, they'd go to town and they'd talk to some people about what they were thinking. Not just go to an event and it's sort of staying within the bubble. They went out and talked to three or four people and, you know, got a sense of what was actually being perceived.
Sure. It's anecdotal, that kind of reporting, but always valuable, of course. And it's not a metric. It's not a survey conducted with a representative sample, but it's a good solid part of what we know to be journalistic custom and practice, and it gives you an idea sometimes, and it gives you a sense that you wouldn't get from all, of course, the public posturing.
And it also it adds flavor, it adds context, you know, and then you can take that and you can go, you can go, this adds up, or this is interesting, or I wonder why, or not. But the call that I received last night was from the same person who, when I asked last November, what they thought was going to happen, because it's just a regular person. He said what he thought, and what he thought happened to have occurred. And this time he was talking about an election in his current state. And he said,
I can, and of course, as involves the military, one of my great go-tos is that wonderful organ, a media outlet, Stars and Stripes. It's the newspaper of the serving military men and women in all services, and it's not institutional. I mean, it emanates with the great financial assistance, of course. It wouldn't happen otherwise, from the Department of Defense, but it is entirely editorially separate. It has its own ombudsman to protect that status of independence. And it's been a very enlightening experience to read this week's events through its lenses. And again, as so often, it provides excellent context. One of the things that it's been very, very insightful in reporting this contention about the phone call to Sergeant Johnson's family. But it's also putting it in a bigger context, too, because as I was alluding to earlier, I think President Trump's sort of apparent display of terrible values often is not so much a cause of our national decline being decried so much, but a symptom of it. And Stars and Stripes has a very interesting story. I was looking at it particularly with our search these days for the missing pieces, and this is an underreported event. But Stars and Stripes was very hot on it and picked it up. President Trump showed a certain degree of, well, let's put it this way: there are customs and courtesies that go on when you're dealing with things military. And in fact, when you go to any form of military event, you will become very aware. And if you spend any time, as every reporter has done, and I've done it many times, and I'm impressed every time by the whole idea of customs and courtesies as part of the fabric of military life. And when Trump was doing two things. He was working in his capacity as leader of the nation and being interviewed, but he was also. Are you hearing me still?
Yes, perfectly.
Oh, I'm getting strange noises in the back. This was in an airplane hangar. For the Pennsylvania National Guard in last week, and he was being interviewed by Sean Hannity. It was a Fox News event, in essence, but military life went on around them as it did it, and he carried on talking to Sean Hannity. This is a point that Stars and Stripes was very eager to underline. Kept on talking to Sean Hannity when the bugle call of retreat was played. Now, everybody knows at the end of a military day, the flag is taken down, and this bugle call is made. A moment of great solemnity. And nonetheless, Trump chatted on through it. In fact, noticed the music was playing and said some rather banal remarks about, oh, what nice music. And then made a joke out of it, which didn't go down well with the military audience, of course. You're just saying that this bugle call is in honor of Sean Hannity's TV ratings. And as I say, it is a matter of great solemnity, and everyone salutes the flag at that time of day. And I think this goes to the whole matter of whether Donald Trump is in tune with anything he's dealing with that is human and well established as human behavior. We know that he had to ask his chief of staff how best to talk to a grieving family, a grieving military family, and he got advice, and then he conducted the call, and it didn't go well for all sorts of reasons that are now a matter of contention. But the fact that he's tone deaf in such matters, despite the fact, by the way, that he went to the New York Military Academy and has boasted in his time about knowing more about the military than members of the military do, he's actually not all that attuned at all, any more than he's attuned to many other things of everyday human life. The man has, as I said before, a little clumsy nature when it comes to communicating at the human level.
Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, the Media Beat.
Thank you.